The scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the servant, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, may we rise for the gospel reading. The reading is taken from the Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." This is the gospel of Christ.
Please be seated. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's really great to be back with you guys. I know I've been kind of missing for a few weeks on Sunday because I've been traveling quite a bit to our mission stations that SJSM have got work in. Very, very glad to be back. And we have actually entered into the second half of 2025. I think I'm still recovering from my travels because this morning at the earlier service, I say we have just entered into the second half of 2015. That was how blur I was this morning. So 2025, second half, and we are starting a new sermon series for this second half. And I think it is so fitting, and it was already planned by Pastor Victor before he went for his sabbatical. We are following through. And it is a study and a meditation on that exciting book of Joshua. Wow, I think we're going to have fun over the next few months. And to kick us off on the first sermon in this series on the book of Joshua about entering and occupying and possessing the promised land, today our preacher is a very familiar face among us. It's none other than our sister Siu Ping. But I want to give her a special introduction today because some of you may not be aware that Siu Ping has entered into a different season of her life and of her service to the Lord. She has worked very hard to earn her PhD, and she is now serving as a researcher in theology in Trinity Theological College. And that is a very important assignment, because as the church seeks to be Christ's witness in a very relatable and relevant way, and yet be true to the gospel in this day and age, we need to think through issues a bit more than the operational and the superficial. So researchers in theology help us to do the hard work of understanding what is the mind of the Lord from Scripture, so that what we do is properly grounded and we do not stray into the highways and byways. But she's also playing a second important role, which is as a guest lecturer in Trinity Theological College, forming the pastors of the future to be positioned in the church to serve the Lord for many more years to come. I know she doesn't like me saying all these things, but I'm saying all this so that we can pray for her. Amen. It's not, and I think I'm saying these things because we are proud of her as well. Am I right? So let's put our hands together to welcome Dr. Kaw Siew Ping.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought you're homecoming queen or something.
No.
Let's just pray for Siew Ping. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have raised up your sons and daughters and you have equipped them with your gifts so that they may serve you and may lead the church not only forward with pace and momentum, but also in depth. We thank you for our sister, for the way she has given her life, the hard work she has done. But now we not only cheer for her, but we pray for her. That Lord, your anointing and your grace be upon her to bless the church with all her efforts under the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the very warm welcome. Let me set up first. Warm this one. Wow, that was so very overwhelming. Yeah, I was going to say that I better do a good job because my college has been mentioned so many times. So disclaimer before I start, if I make any boo-boo, if it's very lousy, it's me. It's not TTC. Okay? It's my immense privilege to open this series on the book of Joshua. This is the outline of the series for this quarter. Okay, I think you will find it in one of the bulletins. Yeah. Every week, we'll be exploring an aspect on the theme of becoming God's people. I want to see you all. I think you would agree with me that the word becoming is an astute choice of word. The continuous tense signifies that we are never quite there 100%. We are, until our very last breaths, each one of us works in progress, both as individuals and as communities. Yet at the same time, we don't stay where we are in our spiritual growth. We are constantly learning. We are constantly obeying. We apply the truths in the Word of God, in community, which is what becoming means. Now, how does the book of Joshua fit into the canon of the Old Testament? This is not my Bible. I got it off online. Traditionally, it is understood to be a book of history. The book of Joshua describes how the tribes of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, entered Canaan, conquered the inhabitants in a series of battles, and divided the land among themselves. Now, I won't spend any more time on the background here, but let me commend to you the cell word material that you have access to. It's excellently written. I didn't write it, okay? And provides a more than adequate background to both the book and the person of Joshua. Or you could watch the Bible Project's YouTube video on the book of Joshua as a cell. Today, we'll just focus on what has been read to us, which is Joshua 1:1-9. I believe most of us are familiar with this passage, yeah? The context is this. The people were encamped at Shittim, a place that means acacia trees. This would be their last encampment before they entered the promised land of Canaan. Now, this land was promised to Abraham and his descendants many, many generations ago. At this place, God tells Joshua two times, be strong and courageous in verses 6 and 9, and then be strong and very courageous in verse 7. Now, in the Hebrew tradition, to say anything three times is to emphasize it. So when we say, holy, 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 it means God is very holy. When we say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, we mean He is totally, utterly worthy. Okay? So in order that Joshua doesn't forget, be strong and courageous, it's told to him three times here. Okay. In fact, this is the second time that Joshua has been told three times, be strong and courageous. Let me repeat that. This is the second time he has been told three times to be strong and courageous. In Deuteronomy 31, you can read. Okay. Moses was about to return to the Lord, and he commissioned Joshua to succeed him. On that occasion, we also see that Joshua is told three times to be strong and courageous. In fact, after Joshua 1:1-9, right? In Joshua 1:18, after the people pledge obedience to Joshua's instruction, again, they remind him of the same thing. Only be strong and courageous. Imagine the Dolby surround sound effect of the whole nation telling you to be strong and courageous. Now, usually we only repeat ourselves when someone is not likely to do what we want them to do, or they are not like what we say, right? I notice Itu has many children. So those of us who are parents will understand. School just started again this week, right? I think this will sound familiar. Learn your tingxie. Remember to bring your water bottle home. Finish your homework before you play. So, was the repetition because Joshua was not courageous? Again, the cell word material makes excellent points, which I won't repeat here. It explains why Joshua might be intimidated by the prospect of settling the people in the promised land. But putting together what we see of Joshua before this, I suggest that there may be more to this. Okay? Now, you're trying to follow, okay? It's puzzling because in Joshua 17, in the early days after leaving Egypt, Joshua was tasked with choosing men and leading them to fight the Amalekites. This was in Exodus 17. Now, this he completed successfully. This is the one where Aaron and Joshua held up Moses' arms while Joshua fought. Okay? You all are familiar with that story, right? Okay? So, Joshua had displayed courage as a warrior before this. Okay? Now, then, in Numbers 13 and 14, Joshua and Caleb, together with 10 other representatives, were sent to spy the land of Canaan. And they were the only two who returned with positive reports. So, Joshua had displayed faith on top of courage. Now, furthermore, in Numbers 27 and 32, in Deuteronomy 3 and 31, We are told that Moses publicly made the choice of Joshua as his successor to lead the people of Israel. So, this leadership role didn't suddenly drop on him out of nowhere. Okay. And more importantly, we are told in Deuteronomy 34:9 that he had the Spirit of God on him. So, the question again, why did he have to be reminded three times here to be strong and courageous? Now, here is where we turn again to the text. Okay. Verses 7 and 8 say, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, what is God's instruction to Joshua? How to be strong and courageous? It's not to go and learn a special kung fu. It's not to pick the best warriors. It's not to use a specific kind of weapon. It's not even to gather the best military minds to come up with sheer win battle strategies. Instead, Joshua is commanded to meditate on the word and obey it. It almost sounds like Joshua is going to sit for his PSLE rather than going to war. But this is what God does, right? His instructions are often unexpected. Imagine you are being pursued by an army. Between an army and the sea is before you. What do? You walk through the sea. Imagine you are the leader of a people walking in the desert and they are complaining there's no water. What do? You use your staff to hit the rock. Imagine your camp kena serpents. What do? You build a bronze serpent that everybody can see, then everything will be okay. What kind of instructions are these? And of course, we know who the leader who went through all these bizarre experiences was. Who is it? Moses, right? Now, in fact, in Numbers 13:16, we read that Moses was the one who gave Joshua his name. Joshua's original name was Hoshea, which means he has saved. Joshua means the Lord is salvation. In the Hebrew tradition, names are often prophetic. So what Moses did was to specify the Lord as the source of salvation. This name change lodged and foregrounded God in Joshua's life. Joshua likely never forget that God was the reason for whatever success he will have as a leader. In fact, Pastor Tak Ming reminded the congregation after Iwan that actually the Aramaic form of the name Joshua is Jesus. What we see here, therefore, is the unique emphasis on the relationship between God, His laws, and the leader's strength and courage. In other words, I'm saying that be strong and courageous is emphasized not so much because Joshua lacks strength and courage, but he needs to be reminded this is more than courage to exercise military leadership, more than even the boldness to lead an entire nation. What Joshua needs is not just strength and courage as we normally understand it, like think positive, have confidence in your training, have confidence in your abilities. No, Joshua needed courage from obeying the word of God in the face of the challenges ahead. As he meditates on God's word, he is to obey it, and it will give him courage in a positive loop. Now, I think you will all agree, we live in a world where obedience is generally thought of as something negative, unless you are a child. It's regarded as something that we ought to outgrow once we become adults and can make our own minds. Now, this is what Richard Dawkins, who is arguably the most famous atheist, says. I have a, you might say, fanatical desire for people to use their own minds and make their own choices based upon publicly available evidence. Religious fanatics want people to switch off their own minds, ignore the evidence, and blindly follow a holy book based upon private revelation. Now, Dawkins' disdain for believers because we obey God's law is evident. And maybe that's why already here in the Old Testament, courage and obedience to God's law are bundled together. In the world opposed to God's law, we need courage to obey. Joshua's courage and obedience to God's laws lead to success of historical proportions. Israel finally came into God's promise of a nation, God's promise of a land for her as the nation. And today, of course, we know people who take great leaps of faith to do great things for God. We think of people like Hudson Taylor, William Carey, David Livingstone. These were people who brought the gospel to India, to Africa, to China, and other legendary missionaries who bravely crossed oceans to bring the gospel to foreign lands in obedience to Jesus' great commission. But, brothers and sisters, what if I tell you that here in SJSM, there are those who stand courageously and quietly on God's throne? I'm talking about the SJSMer working in an MNC who was pressured to take part in Pride Month celebrations in the company. Now, don't get me wrong. If anyone who identifies as LGBTQ walks through SJSM's doors in search of a community, we ought to rejoice, right? We rejoice because we are all sinners in need of God. We are all in the process of becoming more like Jesus. So welcome, we will all sojourn together. However, celebrating these identities that do not align with orthodox biblical sexual mores is a different thing altogether. So, because of her convictions, this SJSMer didn't take part in the celebrations. As a result, she was singled out and she had to explain to the management why. But this SJSMer stood firm under the pressure. This is courage. I'm thinking of the couples in SJSM who choose to continue with pregnancies despite unfavorable prognoses. Some of the infants don't survive long, others do. But these parents recognize it is not in their place to take a life that God gives. This is courage. Although it may look like foolishness in the eyes of the world. Like Joshua, these SJSMers know God's laws and obey them. They demonstrate such courage because they know God's very personal promises to Joshua are also given to them, that he will never leave them nor forsake them, and that the Lord their God is with them wherever they go. Indeed, one commentator makes this point. Joshua will not succeed because he obeys God's instruction. He will succeed because God is with him to obey the instructions. You don't have to summon your own strength to obey it all by yourself. God's presence enabled Joshua to obey his word. Okay, now, let's go back one step, okay? It is true that in this context, these promises are given to Joshua, the leader, okay? The promises here, okay? They are not made to the rest of the Israelites, okay? Let me explain. In English, when I say you, it could mean one person or a group of you, okay? But in Hebrew and Greek, when there are different words for plural you and singular you. So, in the Hebrew, the whole passage, if you read, you go back and read Joshua 1:1-9 again, all the yous actually are addressed to Joshua except these two verses. Only these two verses are addressed to Israel. Okay, so it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. Now, this means that the land is already given to the people of Israel, but they still had to exercise faith to go and physically occupy it. They still had to act on the promise God gave them. So this is how one commentator puts it. On the one hand, God has given the land to Israel in its entirety. On the other hand, they must occupy it. This combination of challenge and opportunity is the way in which God works with believers. For Christians, the promise of victory over sin and death has been accomplished through Christ. However, this must be claimed through a life of faith in Christ's work and of faithfulness to Him. And then the second observation. Because in the Old Testament, the presence of God is given only to prophets and leaders. But for us living in the promises of the New Testament, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit in John 14 to anyone who believes in Him. We don't have to be leaders to have the presence of God with us to enable us to obey Him. What an amazing promise and privilege. So, I hope after this sermon, be strong and courageous, which is often the only thing we remember of this passage here. We'll take on a more solid foundation for all of us. It's not just about being garam. It's the kind of garam that comes from knowing the Word of God and therefore the character of God. It's the kind of garam empowered by Jesus through His Holy Spirit. Okay. As we come to the end of this sermon, we want to ponder what the Word of God may be saying through the Holy Spirit to SJSM as a church. The first point has to do with transitions. We go back to the beginning of this passage. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. The book of Joshua begins with a time of transition. Moses, the leader who had led them for 40 years, had died, and they were about to go into the promised land. So the first new thing they had to cope with was new leader. Then the second new thing was no more sojourning. Now they have to fight the Canaanites in order to possess the promised land. We just crossed the 2-month mark of the transition from Pastor Victor to Pastor Tak Ming. We will still have Pastor Victor back with us, but in a different capacity. So this is still a time of transition for SJSM. In fact, this has been the third transition for us ever since Pastor Joshua left in 2021. Now, it has been observed that times of transition in leadership are occasions of potential instability. And to be honest, I do feel that the recent pace of change of vicars has been unsettling. Not to mention, just last week we just said farewell to Pastor Dino, right? God made room for Israel to mourn for Moses. We are told in Deuteronomy 34:8 that the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So also, in SJSM, we have been able to bid farewell as a community every time a pastor left. There is room to express our sadness. Sadness because we are fond of them. There have been opportunities to register our gratitude to those who have led us through various seasons. But beyond that, just as the Lord commanded Joshua to arise, we too must arise. We too must embrace the transitions and, together with the leaders under God, do the work that God has for us as a community in SJSM. And this is my second and final point. Be strong and courageous is addressed not just to the leaders, but to every single one of us here today. The way to be strong and courageous is to hold fast to and obey the word of God become flesh. The word of God became flesh in Jesus. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is with us through the Holy Spirit, and He is our source of courage. Now, in a while, we will gather around the table, which is a reminder that we are the body of Christ. In this time of transition, may we trust that the new leader is God's appointed for the next season of becoming that God has planned for us. Now, I must share with you that when I was told that I was going to open this series on the book of Joshua, I thought it was because Pastor Tak Ming was not around. Yeah. But you see, I think we will all agree that the fact that he was asked to start a sermon is a, you know, it speaks of his humility. It speaks of a very real commitment to doing ministry as a community. In so, SJSM, may we continually seek the Holy Spirit to enable us to have courage, to keep our eyes on Jesus. And this point, I'm sure Pastor Tak Ming will agree with me. Jesus, who is the true leader of SJSM, as we obey him. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.